Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In 1960, a film dramatization of the 1925 Scopes Monkey Trial was released, starring Spencer Tracy in the role of the unbelieving lawyer Clarence Darrow. The title of the film was Inherit the Wind, which is taken from Proverbs 11 and verse 29. The scripture says, "He who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be servant to the wise-hearted." Now, the movie was a thinly veiled attempt to glorify the evolutionary position and those who held it, while it portrayed Christians in a less than complimentary light. The actual trial resulted in a conviction of Mr. Scopes for violating Tennessee law by teaching evolution, but the conviction was overturned on appeal. The trial became little more than a showcase confrontation between the two well-known attorneys, William Jennings Bryan and Clarence Darrow. And in the long run, it was the cause of believers that suffered as a result of this trial. In one sense, this trial represents the truth of Scripture that the rejection of God's law results in catastrophe here in life as well as condemnation in eternity. For a few moments today, we will take a look at what the Scriptures have to say about the consequences of the choices we make in life. As we do so, we will discover that the imagery of inheriting wind is an apt description of the choice to ignore God's will. The imagery of inheriting the wind is really the idea of sowing and reaping. And one of the best examples of this is the 10 tribes who comprised the kingdom of Israel after they divided from Solomon's son, Rehoboam. In 1 Kings chapter 11, the scripture tells us that God brought about the division of Solomon's kingdom because Solomon had begun to follow the gods of his many wives. God raised up Jeroboam to lead the 10 northern tribes and promised to bless him if Jeroboam would do what was right in God's sight. Jeroboam, however, refused to obey God and instead led Israel into idolatry. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, the scripture tells us that Jeroboam made two golden calves and put one in Dan and the other in Bethel as places for Israel to worship rather than in Jerusalem. Jeroboam went on to create his own feasts and sacrifices and priesthood to rival the worship of the true God. Thus began a 200-year journey that took the nation of Israel farther and farther away from God. From time to time, God sent his prophets to warn Israel of the danger of their rebellion against him, but they universally ignored these warnings. Finally, God sent Hosea to them to pronounce his judgment against them. Hosea was the last of the prophets sent to Israel, and he prophesied in the years just preceding Israel's conquest by Assyria. In Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 7, God spoke to Israel through the prophet, and he said these words, "Put the trumpet to your lips. Like an eagle, the enemy comes against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. They cry out to me, 'My God, we of Israel know you.' Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have appointed princes, but I did not know it. With their silver and gold, they have made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. He has rejected your calf, O Samaria, saying, 'My anger burns against them.' How long will they be incapable of innocence? For from Israel is even this: a craftsman made it, so it is not God. Surely the calf of Samaria will be broken to pieces, for they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads. It yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up." Now, as the prophet related here, Israel had sown the wind by rejecting God and by pursuing the gods of the nations around them. They had sown the wind by refusing to heed the call of the prophets whom God sent to them to warn them to repent and return to him. Finally, they reaped the results of their 200 years of rebellion. They reaped the whirlwind in the form of the Assyrians, who not only destroyed their capital city, but carried the survivors off to a captivity from which they never returned. Like the devastation left when a tornado strikes a community, Israel was wiped out. But unlike a tornado that strikes indiscriminately, Israel received the just results of their actions. In Proverbs 22 and verse 8, many years before Israel suffered her fate, Solomon warned of the folly of disobeying God. He said, "He who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish." Now this truth is underscored throughout Scripture, but nowhere more plainly than in Psalm 1. Here the psalmist said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." In very pointed terms, this is what it means to inherit the wind. It means to be left with nothing of substance, nothing in the way of blessing. And this is exactly what happened to Israel. They never recovered when they received the inheritance that their disobedience raised up for them. They inherited the wind indeed. Now, lest we make the same mistake made by Israel so long ago, we need to remind ourselves that the principle of sowing wind and reaping the whirlwind still applies in the Christian dispensation. The Lord certainly taught this principle in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins and in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, both of which were illustrations of final judgment. In the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the foolish virgins sowed the wind by not being prepared for the groom's arrival. As a result, they reaped the whirlwind by being locked out of the wedding feast. In the parable of the talents, the one talent slave sowed the wind by not attempting to put his master's money to work. He reaped the whirlwind as a result of his actions when his master took away his one talent, gave it to the slave with 10 talents, and then cast the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In both cases, the evil ones inherited the wind. They were left destitute and cut off from their respective master's blessings. Their disobedience cost them very dearly. While our Lord spoke of this principle somewhat indirectly, his apostle Paul spoke of it in very direct terms. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, Paul said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now in this case, sowing to the flesh means to live in disobedience to God's will. Sowing to the Spirit means to obey God's will. Paul simply stated that whoever or whatever course one chooses to pursue in his life will have its reward. We cannot sow our wild oats and somehow expect crop failure. We are going to reap exactly what we have sown. This truth is illustrated in the New Testament in the example of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 and in Paul's words in Romans chapter 1. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Luke records the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who conspired together to lie about the gift that they brought to the apostles. They sold a piece of property and kept back a portion of the proceeds. Then they told Peter that the gift they brought was the full amount of the proceeds. They were both struck dead as a result of their lie. They sowed the wind by lying about their gift, and they reaped the whirlwind when they were struck dead. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, Paul spoke in very detailed terms about those who knew God but did not honor him, verse 21. He said of them in verse 28 that they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. So God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Their depraved minds led them to profess themselves to be wise when they were actually fools. They began to worship idols in the place of the true God. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and among other depravities, began to practice homosexuality. These people sowed the wind by excluding God from their knowledge and by practicing all kinds of ungodly behavior. They reaped the whirlwind in two ways. In verse 27, Paul says that after committing indecent acts, they received in their own persons the due penalty of their error. In other words, there were physical consequences that they suffered because of the ungodly behavior that they had engaged in. Then in verse 32, Paul said that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Now this is the second way in which these folks reaped the whirlwind. By sowing the wind, they reaped the whirlwind of eternal condemnation and separation from God. They not only had the physical pain of sickness and disease in life, which was a result of their sinful behavior, but also they had the prospects of eternity in the lake of fire. And this is the most terrifying way in which one may inherit the wind. But make no mistake about it. Those who live in disobedience to God's word will inherit the wind both in life and in eternity. It is here that we would do well to emphasize the reality of reaping the whirlwind in life. Every sin that one commits leaves its mark on him, even after he has been forgiven. But some sins leave life-altering or life-threatening consequences. Sowing the wind in the pursuit of alcohol, drugs, tobacco, and sexual promiscuity may also result in physical consequences of disease or broken health. How many people have we known who have lived lives of promiscuity, lived lives of wantonness in the pursuit of alcohol and drugs and so forth, and their lives physically are broken because of that action? But in addition to these physical consequences, these kinds of sins also result in emotional scars that hinder the ones who lived this way all the rest of their lives. Many of us have known also people who are emotionally broken because of the way they lived their lives unrighteously as younger people. And in addition to all of these things, one's reputation may become so ruined by the practice of these sins that even after giving them up for godly living, that person will never be allowed by unbelievers to live them down. And again, this is the shame of a sinful life lived prior to conversion and then never being able to get over it in the eyes of some people who will always remind us of the way we were once before. Reaping the whirlwind is not pleasant, even if it is just in this life. Those who sow the wind are guaranteed by Scripture to reap the whirlwind of God's judgment. This is not something any wise person desires. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, Peter tells us that those who belong to God have an inheritance in heaven reserved for them. The disobedient also have an inheritance, but it is not in heaven. Their inheritance is the wind that they will receive in the lake of fire at the end of time. The truth of Scripture tells us that what we inherit depends on what we sow in life. The question for each of us to consider is, what am I sowing? If we sow obedience to God's will, we will reap His blessings in eternity. If we sow disobedience, we will inherit the wind. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.